We humans have a strong need to idealize other people. A psychoanalyst named Heinz Kohut, Unitarian from Chicago, Kohut wrote that to be emotionally healthy, to be a healthy adult human being throughout our lives, we need to imagine that there are people that we can trust and admire, people who are stable, reliable, and calm. This idealization part of our emotional being is the source of the values that guide our lives. Dr. Kohut said that this development of emotional maturity in us is a continuous process. Throughout our lives, we experience a recurring need emotionally to identify people we can idealize and use as models or mentors in our lives. Well, in my own life, one person I've idealized is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I've read the major biographies of his life, and I've listened to his voice. I've watched his face in old recordings of his speeches. I've long admired his political skill, his courage, his commitment to nonviolent change. Yet I've also learned as I studied his life that Dr. King was not a perfect man. In the movie Selma, there's a fictional moment when Coretta Scott King and Martin are alone with a tape recording sent to Coretta anonymously. On the tape were the sounds of her husband having sex. And in the fictional scene, the actress portraying Coretta tearfully asks Martin, "Did you love the others?" Well, what are the facts behind this fictional moment in the movie Selma? Historians report that evening, after the Great Civil Rights March on Washington in 1963, Coretta flew back to Atlanta, and Dr. King had a suite at the Willard Hotel in Washington. A hidden microphone was installed in the hotel room by the Washington Police Department. The tape recording found its way into the hands of J. Edgar Hoover. And on October 10, 1963, Hoover got Robert Kennedy to authorize the FBI to wiretap King's phones. A few months later, Hoover also planted unauthorized illegal microphones in King's hotel rooms. As the Selma voting rights campaign was beginning in January of 1965, Coretta Scott King received in the mail a thin box containing a reel of audio tape and a letter. According to historians, the recording was of her husband telling dirty jokes and making body remarks, plus the sounds of him engaging in sex. It had all been prepared by the FBI, including an anonymous hate letter suggesting that Dr. King should commit suicide. However, the conversation that is in the movie never occurred. Years after her husband's assassination, Coretta Scott King said, "When I listened to the tape, it had nothing to do with my husband having sex. It was a loud social function with people telling dirty jokes, nothing like what I have seen reported in the press." Coretta Scott King, who died in 2006, said, "During our whole marriage, we never had one single serious discussion about either of us being involved with another person. If I ever had any suspicions, I never would have even mentioned them to Martin. I just wouldn't have burdened him with anything so trivial. All that other business just didn't have a place in the very high-level relationship we enjoyed." Still, others who knew Dr. King have confirmed his infidelity. And it was not King's only weakness. Starting in 1989, historians reported that substantial parts of Dr. King's doctoral dissertation at the University of Boston, thank you, the Methodist School in Boston, the theological school at the university, substantial parts of his dissertation and other academic papers from his student years appeared to have been appropriated from other sources without Dr. King adding an attribution. This pattern of appropriation of other people's work was also discovered in his speeches and his sermons throughout his career. So we have extramarital sex and plagiarism. What do I do when I find that the person I idealize, the person whose moral teachings I try to model my life after, turns out to be less than perfect? Now, this is a fundamental challenge that faces me and perhaps you also. It faces me all my life. I have often idealized people, and then, as I learn more about them, discovered that they are not perfect. At first, I deny that they're not perfect. This can't be true. This must be misreported. And then, as the facts become clear, I get annoyed with them and angry. The critical question is, do I refuse to accept any of the good that they have done because I have discovered that they have faults? Is it possible to accept that the same person who is in many ways strong and courageous, wise and committed, is also at times subject to weakness and temptation? Must the people that I idealize be pure and unblemished? Now, Dr. King's sister, Christine Ferris, commented on this. She said she wants to demythologize her brother's life. She wrote, "My brother was no saint. He was an average, ordinary man." And a friend of Dr. King has written that by praising the accomplishments of Martin Luther King into a legendary tale that is annually told, we fail to recognize his humanity. We fail to recognize his personal and public struggles. And we fail to recognize that these are similar to yours and to mine. So, in spite of Dr. King's failures, I honor him. I honor him despite his limitations. I celebrate his ministry while recognizing his humanity. I give thanks for the work of an imperfect man who gave his life for the principles of freedom, equality, and nonviolence. Today, 50 years after Selma, in news articles, in books, in sermons, and even in a movie, I see how he is idealized, and I give thanks to all the imperfect people who fought for voting rights in Selma. I give thanks to Reverend Richard Leonard. He was married and the father of two daughters. He describes meeting his wife at 2:30 and not telling her that he was leaving on a flight in 2 hours to go to Selma. Instead of talking directly to his wife, during a stopover in Atlanta, Richard called his mother-in-law and asked her to tell her daughter that her husband was in Selma. Now, this is not a model of a healthy relationship. Reverend Richard Leonard, an imperfect hero. Robert Fulghum discourages us from putting him on a pedestal. He says he has always felt embarrassed, even somewhat ashamed, of how little he actually contributed to the advancement of the civil rights movement or to the confrontation in Selma. Robert Fulghum, a Unitarian Universalist minister, an imperfect hero. Three people died during the struggle. Jimmy Lee Jackson, a deacon in his Baptist church in Alabama. Viola Liuza, who attended the First Unitarian Universalist Church in Detroit. And Reverend James Reeb, a Unitarian Universalist minister. This past Friday, a 7-minute documentary was posted by the New York Times website interviewing the Unitarian Universalist minister, Clark Olson. Clark was the son of my first Unitarian minister, Arthur Olson. Let's watch this report with Clark.